from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Alrighty, winding the baton, hitting the podium, and generally making mayhem.
How orchestral.
In this orchestral maneuvers in the dark, you're listening to Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive radio talk show with your host, Ray Guarino. To his right, as always, on the con, his wingman and XO, Joe D.
Yeah, holding up the passenger seat.
That's because that's where my XO sits, to my right all the time.
There
so
you go.
We're playing a little classical today. Why, you ask? Well, because...
Why, Ray?
Well, Joe, because, you know, we interact with our listeners very closely. And Al, Jeep and Al... And I had a little interlude this week about music in the shop, and classical music was Al's favorite, so I said, you know what?
No kidding.
We're doing it for Al this week, so there you go.
See, Al?
It's just that easy.
I like it. Classical music, though, I mean, it's kind of hard to headbang to, though.
Oh, it is.
You know, it's... But
well,
I could see it simulating the brain patterns and whatnot.
ELP is on this CD, except it's not the full version. Otherwise, I would have played the good one, but
right.
I didn't. So anyway, we got a special guest with us today. Yeah, we had to drop in, you know, in the clouds. We have our guests in the clouds, and they sometimes drop in, sometimes they don't.
The clouds kind of get a little thin, and they just kind of fall. Come on, let's be real about it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully
we got to put the bubble wrap right where they land.
The clouds open, and it slid like from Jersey to here, because we got Jersey Jim in the studio with us today.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Jim, you use the microphone.
You have to talk into that fuzzy thing over there.
Yeah, you have to talk into that.
You got to talk into that.
Hello.
There you go.
When you're here, you are here. So,
yeah, that's it. You know, you can't let us carry everything. So, like, you're on the spot. You know, just remember talking to the fuzzy thing. Not too far away. Not too close. Yeah, I didn't give him microphone 101.
No,
usually when we get guests, I usually like get them seated, mm-hmm. and I tell them like how far away to sit from the microphone, and you know what those things are that you're supposed to put them on your head.
Right, right.
Yeah, we did have a couple guys that tried them as virtual reality eye thingies.
They wanted to be the fly.
Right.
I didn't want. So I will mention, since Jim is here, and he
caught on pretty quick, though.
Since he's here and he's close enough to throw things at me, I will say, make sure you go and check out our website.
Yes.
Motor Mouth Radio. Use ComoNet. Either one will get you there because it directs to wherever you want to go. Check our Twitter feed. Get on board. If you like us, then follow us.
Yeah.
Because we've been I think Jim's doing some stuff right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Are you Twitter painting there? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
It is, yes.
Yeah,
and you know what's cool? This is something that Jim and I spoke about this week that I promised I would mention, and I wrote a note. So, you know, I got my papyrus memory right.
Now, that's a whole new meaning to the word hard drive.
Yeah, because without that, right. I don't. It's
at least you don't use the rocks no more. The rocks were getting tough. You know,
they were hard.
Like, ting, 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 ting. It takes 10 minutes to write something down.
At our age, I understand the term flash memory better than ever because it's like in and out in a flash. So,
but in one ear, out the other.
Well, but Jim reminds me, and I showed our good friend Kilowatt Kevin this week some of the videos that went up on Twitter, the quick little ones like from Marty Shore and from the Chevelle project at the shop and from the Camaro chick and Hot Rod girl. And, you know, Jim put them up on Twitter for us, which was great. He's the creative genius behind that. So I was able to show Kevin what happened on the phone. And he said, wow, that stuff is pretty cool. So if, like Kevin, you're not on Twitter, you can go to the website, motormouthradio.com or net, whatever you like, /blog/videos, and you can see them on the website.
Yeah. So, I mean, in other words, you don't have to be a twit.
Right.
You know, and
or a bit to it.
I still have trouble finding the icon and stuff, but it's out there.
Right, right. So I got to tell you, Joe, this week I was in a bit of a quandary because last week I talked about...
Or it started with Q, high Scrabble score.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Totally illogical. I could not figure the the combinations. It boggled the mind. I brought my daughter's car, the Mazda, to get inspected 2 Saturdays ago, and the monitors weren't set, and we theorized it was probably a CAT code.
A CAT thing, yes.
Which I verified to be, yes, a PO420. It was a pre-CAT code, which is that we've been chasing on that car. And then you mentioned, you know, I was going to use the magic cat in a bottle trick. Try stuffing in the gas tank.
Yeah, the hairballs when you open the cap, you got to watch out for.
But lo and behold, I took the car to work with me on Wednesday, I believe it was, and I brought my scanner with me and, you know, gave the car a good run, got it warm. When I got home, I plugged the scanner in. I went into, I looked at the monitors and geez, I had a green monitor.
Yay!
I'm like, yeah, okay, go into codes, no pending DTCs, no 420 CAT code. I'm like, you know what? I didn't shut the car off. Went right to the guy's shop.
I would have stopped off at the local 7-Eleven or something and bought a friggin' lottery ticket. Are you kidding me?
Well, not yet. I parked the car. I didn't shut it off. I went in and said, hey, Andy.
Good for you. Multiple key cycles. We've had that talk.
Yes.
About multiple key cycles.
I've learned a few things. I said, the car's out there. There's no pending codes. It's clear. Can you do it? Of course, now he's like, well, I'm all alone today. He's got a shop that's two and two.
Right.
Cars everywhere, car in the lift. I had to pull the car under an SUV on the lift.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get
fun.
Within cable range. I said, no problem. I can do that. I said, doesn't scare me. And we got the inspection, so God bless.
Thank God for small favors. Yeah, sometimes, you know, sometimes what happens is you can clear a car, drive the car around, and hopefully it doesn't come back. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. That's from the wishful thinking school of diagnostics.
which we subscribe to here.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when like it's like $700 to do that quote-unquote right.
You fix. Told me, was it you who told me about a cat that was it for a Suzuki?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No,
Suzuki. Yeah, Suzuki. Yeah.
Was it Suzuki?
$1,500.
Right.
And the car was worth like $139. So, like,
right.
That's not happening. You know.
So, what's a customer to do when they have to decide, am I going to spend $1,500 plus labor on a part? And you know, once you take the cat out, a lot of times, the associated pipes.
Something goes wrong. All right. By rights, you should do oxygen sensors anytime you apply any kind of. Mechanical force in them because they crack internally, which may show rear its ugly head, you know, a few days later, if not right away. So now the $1,500 becomes like $2,000. And, you know, like I said, this particular car, even though it was in nice shape, you know what I mean? It was all-wheel drive, stuff like that. But, you know, because of, like, parts availability and stuff like that, the car's worth $139. So
right.
We had to do something, you know, it's usual. It's a single mother with the, you know, it's the story. The violins come out and all that kind of stuff. And we got a little creative there. So good old Mode 6 comes through again.
Right, right.
And we saw that the thing just barely squeaked. Oh, it just kind of stepped over the line.
Explain that, because we were talking about the threshold with Mode 6, and when I went down to see Andy, I mentioned that to him. I said, you know, the next step was going to be a Mode 6 diagnostic. I was playing the audience. He's not a really technical guy. He has a guy that does that, but he, being a shop owner, he can't claim total ignorance.
Right.
So he's like, Mode 6.
Mode 6.
He did one of those.
I'm only up to Mode 5, but hopefully I get that next belt.
Yeah. Right. So explain, please, for everybody what the threshold is with Mode 6.
Okay, Mode 6 is when you run the monitors that we've talked about into the ground. The car runs the test, and these are the test results. And they're usually written in hexadecimal. And so... which is great, you know, because some of us suck at math, me, and other scan tools put it into English. Basically, it's like, okay, with the catalytic converter, they have some type of ratio, which a lot of times I don't really even care about. It's that the ratio or the magic number is, in this case, 20. Let's say the magic number is 20, and you can't go past 20, otherwise now you fail. Okay? So when you look at the Mode 6, you could see, which would, if it failed in this particular case, would be the catalytic converter code.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen is you could turn around and you could say, well, you know, if the limit was 20 and you had 40, it's like, okay, you need a cat, quit bothering me, get out of here, junk the car, whatever.
Right.
All right? but this particular person had like 21.
Okay. All right,
so
yeah.
It just kind of, you know when you get that like 63 on the tests back in school and you kind of missed passing.
Right.
It's one of them deals. So, you know, occasionally they've come out with these products. One of them is Cataclean.
Yep.
Another one is Guaranteed to Pass, which. And there are other approaches to this which entail cleaning the catalytic converter.
Just to interrupt, when I was at the parts store yesterday for something else, I saw Cataclean on the shelf, and I expected to see, like, they should have, like, a little tail come off of that. I tell you something, they'd sell that. I'd buy it just to have it on the shelf.
Just to keep that on your workbench, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. And basically what it does is that it slightly improves the efficiency of the converter, A, by changing the chemical makeup of the fuel in there, and also it takes some of the crap off the converter. You know, converters are just a little brick of honeycomb of different materials: platinum, rhodium,
iridium.
Yeah, that too. Dilithium.
So it's kind of like when we grew up; it was the myth of like, "Here, drink black coffee, you'll be okay to drive."
Exactly. Yeah. It never worked for me.
Me neither.
I used to keep the Mr. Coffee in there, but, you know, I always had the problem.
In the car?
I could never find no place to plug it in.
Right.
And I was always saying, that's on my list. I got to make a 12-volt Mr. Coffee. It doesn't work anyway.
Yeah.
So, but in this particular case, we put some of this Cataclysm, Cataclean, whatever the hell it is, and we drove the car around for about 3 or 4 days, because you're supposed to, like, put it in, drive it a little bit, then add fuel, then drive it some more. And we got the number down to like 18.
Oh.
And it's like just squeaking by. Now you're the kid with the 66.
Right.
And after learning how to drive the Suzuki monitors, which took like 3 days.
Did you use a samurai sword to do that?
Yeah, no, actually we couldn't afford the samurai sword that was in the shop, so we used the Ginzo.
Ah.
And we got the stupid thing to pass. Basically, with that, they tell you, start the car up, let it idle until it gets to 135 degrees, drive it for 60 miles an hour for 15 minutes, then bring it back and let it sit for 5 hours, and don't touch it.
Right.
And what they did is they drove, you know, these guys, they drove it, but they didn't leave it at the correct ambient temperature. It was very cold those few days. And at some point, they touched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Then we had to do it all over again because they said 60 miles an hour, 15 minutes, stop, and don't touch it for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They went back at 4 hours.
Oh.
Just like my...
That was like the scanner story, right? With the download?
Just like my friend Anthony with his Benz there that time, and he went back with like 12 minutes and 30 seconds instead of 13 minutes.
And,
you know, except this one was like... it did, and we got the stupid thing to pass. But Mode 6,
yeah.
If you are lucky enough to have a scan tool that could read it, and depending on that scan tool, whether it translates it into human language or you could actually understand hexadecimal, because I don't.
Right. But you do understand Vulcanian.
That's Slavic, Pwafik, Slavicom.
Right.
And... Yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Well, that's why, you know, we hand Joe these little multicolored pieces of wood, and he can read them. He puts them in some drive that reads them, and he says, oh, yes, I got the data.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad thing, because sometimes interacting with regular humans, you know.
I know.
But if you know how to do that, you can find out whether or not you're dealing with a big problem, a little problem. Sometimes it's an anomaly, and it's talking about anomalies. There's the flashy thing.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break, and that flashy thing is going to have to call us back, because we got to keep on schedule, and we're going to come back with more of Motor Mouth Radio. So keep it where you got it. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Jim in the studio. Let's see what's happening here.
Do you own a car, or have you ever seen one? Then you might be one of the millions of Americans who suffer from...
Well, not the most, the one I remember the most is WQIP.
WQIP. Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Okay, and the music didn't come back either, so we're having a fine day on Motormouth Radio.
Oh, good.
What we're going to do now is...
I don't have a scan tool for this, you know.
I know. We're going to slide the sensor. We're going to go up into transporter mode. We're going to hit this button and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, gentlemen, what's happening?
Christian!
Hey, Christian, what's going on, man?
Talk to us.
Oh, not much. Forgot what I was going to talk about.
Oh, good. You're just like us, then.
I'm still having those brain farts lately.
Absolutely.
Cranial flatulation, yes.
And I haven't been using too much 2 plus 2 lately.
Oh, good.
Usually that'll do it.
Absolutely.
No, you were talking about scanners. I was just thinking in my head. I remember when I worked in a dealership back in the day, mm-hmm. in Freeport with the motorcycles, we had Aprilia, which was an Italian company.
Right.
And they started coming out with these fuel-injected scooters.
Right.
50cc, 2-strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And because the European models and stuff, they come in a homologated. Ooh. Phenolic. Okay.
Not phenolic.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I'm already a little off this morning. But I remember, you know, when they came out with the fuel-injected models, I said, how are we going to work on these things with, like, codes and all this stuff? I still have it. I'm going to send you a picture. I got to pull it out of my archive. I have it packed away. But believe it or not, they supplied us with it was a cartridge. It was a game cartridge that fit into a Game Boy.
And we used Boy
to scan and flash the ECUs and the scooters.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll have to pull that out, and then you can put that on the
Italian-Japanese Cooperation Act.
What year was that, Christian?
2002. I think they started using a VDO ECU. They were getting away from Morelli. Oh, no, maybe it was Morelli.
Uh-huh.
You got to remember, when I was doing a lot of fuel injection stuff, when I first started in the motorcycle industry, everything was still on floppy disk, you know?
Yeah, probably 5 1/4.
Yeah, it was pretty basic analog stuff, too. We used to have, like, these boxes with dip switches and, you know, flash. You had no idea what you were doing. It was luck of the draw, you know. You put a pipe on a motorcycle and you hit a couple dip switches and you're like low, medium, high. You know, it was very basic. But the Game Boy option was great because you would take a little panel off the handlebar of the scooter and there was like a little plug and plug in. You plug your Game Boy in. I'd reflash the ECU right from Italy to the United States. You take a 50cc scooter, you go from 2 horsepower to 7 horsepower.
Wow.
Because it had to be 2 horsepower when it came into the country.
Did you have to do the olive oil upgrade for the crankcase? Well,
you had to do the... they were inside the airbox. They used to have, like, a restrictor. And then they had on the... It was a CBT. So it was a belt drive and had, like, a little pulleys and stuff. They had, like, a washer. So you would just blow off the one pulley, take the washer out, and then that would allow the belt to go up a whole nother ratio.
Oh, cool. You know?
But the thing was is that at the dealership, what I would do is I would take the washer out and the restrictor out of the, you know, out of the intake and everything, and then I would roll the scooter out, and the guy would be like, yeah, you know, and I'd be like, oh, wait a second. I come out with my Game Boy, I plug the Game Boy in, and I'd be like, hold on, bing, 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 okay, go ride it.
You know? And he thought you were just playing games.
No, yeah, and then they go out and they ride it and they come back and they're like, what did you do? Hey, here's $20. I'm like, thanks, dude. See you later.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. That's
but,
cool.
Yeah, I'll pull that out and take a picture of it. It was pretty neat that they did that.
Yeah, love to see that.
You know, just talking about scanners and stuff, I just, you know, there's a lot of things back in the day. They were still running systems off of gaming.
Yeah.
Motherboards and stuff like that.
That was probably the most advanced stuff at the time. Were you kidding?
But even the dynos, even like a Mustang dyno or a factory pro dyno from, you know, 10 years back, they used, you know, basically the dyno was a chassis dyno, and then they would run all the electronics off a gaming system, and then these guys would come in and write the programs to run the dynos off of a gaming board, and that, you know, all this USB stuff. Now everything's so, now I'm sure you could probably start Bluetoothing.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure it's all wireless, right, because the new scanners are wireless. You plug the dongle into the...
Do you guys have, I think I have a Bluetooth, you know what, maybe I should send it to you. I have a thing that goes into the DOBD2 port, and it's just like a little white, it looks almost like an iPhone charger thing.
Right.
You plug it in, and it, I think it Bluetooths to your phone.
Yeah, there's a lot of those around these days. Yeah,
have you guys had any?
I haven't used one because, like, I have a car full of scan tools, but they have their uses. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of techs keep something like that on their body just for whatever reason.
Yeah, well,
they tend to be generic, though.
What was that again? You guys, I had a.
That
little sidebar with Kim.
Plugs into the OBD2 port and links up with your phone.
You can
phone.
Link it up to an iPad.
Oh, the phone, right.
You can put all the monitors up on a screen.
That's
and
like the
just,
Torque.
I think a Bluetooth.
The Torque app.
Yeah,
there's
Torque
another
is one.
One
of them, yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of factory scan tools that are now do that where they're wireless.
I was going to say, Mikey's MaxiSys is
wireless. Yeah, Ortel does that
wireless.
Now, too, yeah.
And then it'll print. It'll even wirelessly print the report.
Yeah, it goes into the Wi-Fi of the car.
Something to do with motorcycles, that the suspension is linked to, you could control the dampening in the suspension, like the new Yamaha R1s have it, and you get an app on your phone, and you can adjust the dampening in your front forks through the phone. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of it. You know, I'm more into it.
What happens if you go, like, you know, 85-90 down to BQE, you got your phone out to text your girlfriend, and you hit the app by mistake, and you dead soften your front fork springs?
We go back to the Gerda days and all these spring stuff, you know. You know, these guys, they're writing stuff now, and it's, you know, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. But, you
know, the problem that I'm running into now is, like, a lot of my older friends and stuff, and a lot of guys I know, and good example, Bob in Oceanside, he's been having so many problems, like his wife's car and everything, like with the computers. He's like, there's like six computers running the heating system. He's like struggling. You know, these are guys that can
build to the 21st century.
He could build, you know, like a guy like him could build a car from the nut and bolt right up to the complete car. And he's got a newer car, and they're like, he's struggling with it because, you know, everything's on monitors and this and that. It's like they're all over the place. You know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's getting more and more. Everything is pretty much built in. Pretty much, I tell people, once you hit about 2000 or so, maybe 2001, just for giggles, even if you're not sure, plug the scanner and see if the scanner will talk to that particular, you know, if that particular system.
Yeah.
You know, just because.
See if they recognize each other.
Yeah, because if you got a code for something, I mean, start researching the code rather than sitting there and starting ripping stuff apart. I mean, I see people all the time with, like, I had one guy who had, like, this particularly hard brake pedal. I'm sorry, not that one. Stoplights. And long story short, it had a code for the stoplight switch. But
I was just going to say, the guy that I texted you about this week who came into the shop with the BMW, and he had to have his wife pick him up because the car battery was dead. Found out when he shut the key off and took it out. He goes, the key was off, and it was out. It was in my hand. I'm like, dude, I believe you. He's like, he was so emphatic. He says,
have to sign the affidavit.
He said, the odometer was lit, and the back lights were on. I'm like, well, you got a short, buddy.
You
got a
short. The odometer was lit? I don't think you mentioned that.
I think he said, something on the dash. I think he said, like, the mileage thing, and I figured he meant the odometer.
Motorcycle world, for the restos, they're using there's a company called Moto Gadget that has updated harnesses now, where you can still, they maintain an original looking gauge panel, but like the Z1s, like I got a Z1 in the shop that's restored right now that I'm working on, and it's got a motor system, and it's you know, it's a very basic system.
I'm pretty sure, Lewis Lee out in Ohio, my Thursday night compadre, I'm playing in traffic. I believe he just used Motor Gadget on his Yamaha.
Motor Gadget. They're definitely, and you could either go either way. You could go with an old analog style dash panel where you can maintain, you know, an analog look, but you'll turn the key on and the gauges will swing and calibrate, or you could get the digital option.
I like a little 3-inch drag specialties tack, Speedo. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah.
Right?
The little guy?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
The good old days.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I don't think people really realize the pink and white wire on a Harley FXR is for the speed that goes up to the speedos, so that the Harley Davidson had that it cancel out the directional speedo. An analog speedo would reach a certain mile per hour. Mm-hmm. It would activate that wire like a 5-volt to cancel the turn signal. So when you had your direction on, and then you made the turn, you went, you know,
right,
made a turn. And as soon as you hit over 5 mile an hour, it would say, "Okay, you made your turn. Now you're rolling." Boop, cancel the signal out.
What year did they do that, Christian? What year?
Like 90s, like 90, yeah. 92, 93. You know, but it's like I see a lot of guys wire up these FXRs, and they're like, "What the hell is this wire going to the speed?" They don't know what it is. You know, everyone always, and then you'll see the guy going down the road, you know, with the directional on the whole time.
My BMW does that. It's a speed time. It looks at a speed time ratio. So if you're sitting at a light and you put the directional on, it'll stay on for like 10 minutes. And if you're going 80 miles an hour and you get a signal and off ramp, it'll only be on for about 6 seconds because it's again speed, distance, time. That whole
at that point, if you ain't done with it, you're on your side.
Mm-hmm.
But even the motorcycle world, they used to have all sorts of different, you know, Badlands came out with things canceling units, starts putting LEDs, and then you got your flashes flashing too fast because of resistance and blah 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 blah. But you know, but when it got out of like the 90s into the 2000s, when Harley started putting like these TCM boxes in for the security and stuff, I've had a lot of problems with those where you know, it seems to lock you out. And then there's like a 45-minute procedure, turn the key off, hit left directional, hold this down, turn the key on, 30 seconds here, wait 30 minutes.
Cars have that too.
You've been there, right? Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely.
It makes me want to, you know, hey, you know, but kicker to Magneto. And
yeah, there you go.
Do you have a DLC one in your toolbox?
A what?
A DRC one.
What is that?
Dead rubber chicken.
Swinging around on the front lawn five times.
I can't tell you. You know, there's a lot of procedures that cause you to need you to swing a chicken over your head.
Right.
You know, and I'm not cruel to animals, so I use the DRC one.
Right.
Which is an approved substitute.
That's it. That is cool. Yeah.
I'll take a picture of that Game Boy thing. You'll like that.
Yeah, send that to me.
Definitely.
It's probably one of the most unique, you know, scan tools I ever had to use.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was great for tips, you know.
Right.
Come from all over with their scooters and be like, "Hey, you got the Game Boy?"
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, you're the man. Oh, that's right, great, guys. Christian. All right, thanks for that info.
Yeah, oh, and would you get a new website or something?
Yes.
Oh, I see that. Yeah.
What do you think?
We're moving 21st century now.
It's different. It's got a little wheelie, scrolly thing on my phone, so I guess I had it on my...
Right. Well, it is totally phone compliant, and it is a work in progress. I mean, it is a standalone thing right now, but we're adding to it all the time. And you know, if there's something you want to see on there, something you think would be good, let us know. That goes for all listeners.
Did you put my video up? It's Tapping the Tree this year?
No. You know what? I had that video. You got to send. It's got to be a better video. It was really grainy. It was really, really hard.
Really?
It wouldn't have. Yeah, it looked like crap on the phone even.
Which phone? Wait, what should I send you? I sent Tap this year, right?
Yes, you just about a week ago. Send it to me again.
Yeah, I'll try that again. All right, cool.
Send it again, because there's a guy here I can show it to, and then he'll give it the yay or nay.
All right,
Christian. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, man.
All right, talk to you soon.
Good talking to you, Christian.
So long. All right, we're going to go back, take another break. We're going to see if we can get our console speakers working. Maybe Kim or Rob will come in and take a listen here.
They're looking for the chicken right now.
They're going to go look for the chicken. And we will be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. You can give us a call, 516-572-7440, or check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com.net, whatever you like, or follow us on Twitter, Motor Mouth Radio. And we will be your buddies for life and all of that cool stuff. So let's go see. I think we're up to Für Elise, if I'm not correct, by Beethoven. And we will be back again in a few minutes. So keep it where you got it.
If I were a car, I would go vroom, vroom, vroom.
If it's Motor Mouth, it's WHPC.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age, with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceanic. piano, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Oh, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
When you think about Italy, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Pizza?
No, not pizza. Ninja Turtles?
Ninja Turtles?
You know, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers? No! Rita Monte and Profumi di Italia comes to mind.
Their beautiful music, interviews, poetry, and lots more. Who's at the door?
The pizza guy.
The pizza guy?
All this talk of Italy got me in the mood for pizza.
Maybe the pizza guy wants to listen to Profumi di Italia every Thursday at 5 p.m.
Listen on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. And streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
This is a potted plant. You can't see it because this is radio.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
And you are back with the Motor Mouths, listening to Fear Release. No, that's not Fear Release. That's track 10. Eh, well, we screwed it up again. It's okay. The pooch got another go-around. That's quite all right. That's the way things work here. If we can't bend it, break it, or burn it, we will somehow obliterate it into the stratosphere, and then we'll make it work again later. So we're back. You know, Joe, I wanted to tell you another story that was kind of interesting. I had to...
What's that, right?
I was tapped on the shoulder to do a brake job. Mike had asked me, hey, would you mind...
smack you over the head.
Well, this one smacked me in the butt. I was working on the Camaro and the Chevelle and trying to do stuff on that. And then he says, would you like to do a brake job on the van today? I'm like, why not?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got this text. Yeah,
you remember the van, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this Ford E350, 12, 15, 30 feet long thing.
The BFV edition.
Lots of lug nuts. Yeah, big, mm-hmm. heavy van. Mm-hmm. Lots of lug nuts. So I swing the thing. This was Wednesday when it was like 70 degrees. I'm like, okay. I swing it around to the shop and I'm like, wow. All the bays are full. I'm like, all right. So here I am thinking, boy, I'm so happy. I'm finally working in a shop that has lifts. And I'm going to do this van on a floor jack on the ground outside, right?
Back to basics.
So, okay. So I said, that's not above me. It's not below me either. So I said, no problem. I'll just get it high enough just to get that wheel off. There's no Superman here. I'm the old guy, right?
Yeah.
So I do that. And I work on the left side first, and I can't get the wheel off. It ain't coming. So mm-hmm. I said, okay, you know what? Let me go to the left side. Let me see what happens over there. And I'll wait for Mike Jr. to come back, get the young gun in to help me out. So I go to the left side, and of course, zip, 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 I count the lugs. They 8 of them. Actually, it was weird because there's a weird thing going on. The left side, the hubcap came right off, and the lugs came off. The right side, I couldn't even get the hubcap off. It was really deep, and and then the wheel wouldn't come off. I'm like, something is funky with the right side. So the left side, I take it all apart, get the caliper off, bracket off, the whole nine yards. Everything is rusty, but I get it off. Mike comes back. And I said, hey, listen, you got to help me on the right side here. I can't get this rim off. I was hitting it with the dead blow. I started with a 2x4.
Right.
And I'm dead blowing it at the rim tire interface.
Mm-hmm.
Whack, whack, whack. So now I got whack, 2 2x4s. So I take a half of that one, whack, whack. Oh, now I have 3 2x4s, mm-hmm. whack, whack. Now I got 4 pieces of 2x4. I'm like, wait for
somebody
Mike to
didn't
show
want
up.
To leave.
So Mike shows me a body shop trick. He wraps the dead blow hammer in a towel.
Okay.
He goes, this is how we do it in the body shop. And he lays down under the front of the van, and he starts hitting it from the back as I'm spinning it in the front. He goes, this always works. I saw it move just a little bit, but it just wasn't coming off. Like, Minky, what the hell is going on with this wheel? Like, somebody welded this thing on. Then he looks over, and he says, are all the lug nuts off? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And I look. There was one lug nut.
4, 5, 6, 7.
The rim was black. The lug nuts were painted black. That was the problem. Everything was black. I was like, you're not going to... I took the gun, take it off. The wheel fell off. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
I said, I'll tell you what.
Hashtag duh.
I said, I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm too old.
Dude, I've done that myself.
To be proud.
Yeah. Dude, you know? I've done this myself, except I was lucky. Nobody was looking.
Well, that's why I say, hey, listen, Motor Mouth Radio, we fall on our swords.
Yeah.
We will do that so that someone else can make. And the funny thing was, when I took the other side off, I remember counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I physically counted. So either I missed a number on the one side.
What did the count from Sesame Street go to the bathroom or something to the other side or something?
Or I was thinking about having coffee. I don't know what it was, but but of course, just the caveat to this story, that's the real main story there.
Pay attention.
There are
no cars out there, to my knowledge, that have 7 lug wheels.
I know.
You got five, you got 6, and then you got 8.
Right.
They tend to have... I've done this myself not that long ago, so I cannot throw rocks at your glass house.
I fill the master, and I go in to gently stroke the brake pedal to push the pistons out again before I test drive it.
Right.
And as the pedal came up, the pistons came... Now, those pistons were very rusty.
Right.
And I told Mike, I said, I would have put calipers on this thing, too, because I couldn't open the bleed screws. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, but, when it's your own vehicle... it's just the work truck. Leave them. They still work,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as I pump it and I feel the pressure build, I felt this very, very familiar pop
goes
and a little drop. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I said, the left caliper. I knew what it was. There was rust on the pistons. It grabbed the boot. And I looked and there was no fluid on the floor.
Right.
It popped the rear brake line.
So
I'm going back to the transporter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to raise the transporter beam here. I'm going to energize and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic! What is going on?
Ford pickup trucks in the 90s for a couple of years had 7 lug nuts.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
I'm so glad I didn't run across one of those.
Who 7. Knew?
Really, I always think,
especially people that went out and saw wheels and got 8 lug wheels and had a spare hole.
Yeah.
Bolts
ran into it and I went across the street and asked them. They said, yep, for about 2 or 3 years.
Wow. Yeah, this one's a 2000.
Yeah,
so just for whatever.
That was right around the era where it should have.
Right.
Kidding. No, because I've never run across that. And me not being a big Ford guy, probably that was not in my my library of trivia.
And Citroens have 3?
Oh, yeah. Well, what was the one that was, what didn't one have one in the middle, like a center bolt on some of those old...
So, the spinner type, the knockoff.
Knockoffs, yeah.
Well, not the knockoff. I thought it was like one bolt on a rim. But yeah, I think there was 3.
Yeah, but that's them foreign cars.
Well, then again, like, what was it? That one car had 3 wheels, so.
Yeah.
I only had 3 wheels.
Yeah,
so.
There's always some kind of pervert out there with
was
something.
Was that the Isetta?
Maybe, and I think there was.
Messerschmitt, I believe, had 4, though.
Messerschmitt had 4, too. Yeah, whatever. I can't keep track of this stuff.
Or if you hit a good pothole, you had 3.
That's a good point. You know, you always got to check your information, or at least pop the hubcap and count. Yeah.
And on the Ford pickups, the left side were left-handed for a while.
Well, like a Chrysler.
A Chrysler, yep.
You couldn't put much torque onto them, because if you did, they would mushroom over, and you could never get them off.
Ooh, mushroom. I like that on my burger. Onions, mushrooms.
Yeah,
good.
I like that in another place, mushroom. But that's
yeah, I know. Well, forget that. We're not going to Arizona, right? We're not going to hang out on a Mesa. So listen, Vic.
I had a Ford pickup where he had run it up with a gun, and I had to cut the studs off.
Yeah.
To get it off.
Yeah, yep. I've done that. You know, I want to just mention something else to you, Vic. Something we spoke about a week or so ago. I asked if you had a oiling tool for a big block Chevy.
Got to remind me.
Well, I found out something. I talked to Big Block Vinny, my buddy out in Shirley.
Yeah.
And Vinny has been dealing with these motors a long time. He says, don't use a shaft like they sell at Jegs or Summit. He says, use a distributor. And I said, why? And he said, because I've done this. I used a shaft, and he says, it'll only get oil. It won't get oil everywhere. You won't get it up, I think. Exactly. He says,
Is where you want it.
And I'm thinking, I don't know what the difference is or why. I'll get to that later. So now I just got to get a junky small block distributor that I can gut, and I'm going to weld a hex on top that I can put a socket on and just...
Because the other one is basically like an axle tube.
Right.
And it just turns the pump.
Exactly. So I got to get an old small block distributor. Joe, if you see one kicking around a UD, it's probably one of Dougie's ashtray.
I'm so glad you said tray. I was going to say, I think I sat on one.
I'll
the
let
other
you
night.
Guys go. I'm sure other people want to talk.
All right, Vic, thanks.
Good talking to you,
so
man.
So long.
Okay.
That was our buddy Vic.
Figures Vic would know that. You
Vic
know what I mean?
Know.
7,
sure.
I never, I mean, I've taken off my share of tires in the years, but 7 logs?
Yeah.
Figures it's a Ford. No offense out there, guys. But, you know. Oh, look at that. More flashing.
Well, let's go back to the transporter beam. We'll hit that. We'll do this. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray. It's Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Not much. I figured I'd get on after Vic.
Well, of course. It's like, you know, it's like always Bronk followed Howie or vice versa, and you follow Vic. You'd have to.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Joe, I got to tell you something. It was a couple months ago I talked to Vic. I was at the house checking out the stuff, and he mentioned to me that you had a car you were going to sell, and I was going to call you, and thank God I didn't, because I would have ended up bringing it home.
Which one, Oman's?
No, it was a V8 Vega.
I had everything for it, right? Everything for it. It was a Vega wagon.
That I know.
Wait, hold it. It was a Pontiac Astra wagon.
Oh, it was an Astra. Okay.
No kidding.
Same thing, but...
Well, anyway.
I traded that for an 81 Grand Prix.
All right.
That's what I'm working on now.
Real
quick.
Yeah.
You said, you know, for an oil pump, you know, the drive?
Yes.
You could use a V6 distributor, too, if you can't, you know... 229,
yeah, they're basically
4.3.
The same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking for a junk one that I can basically convert and weld a hex on top of. So if you got one laying around,
I'll drop it off at your house.
Yeah, great. That'd be cool.
Very cool.
Right. Thanks, Joe.
Anytime, Ray. Talk to you later.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That, my friends, is you're seeing the Car Guy Network in effect. This is how, Joe, you know this is how it works.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
How it's like, who's got what for this guy, for that guy? He's one of your guys? Hey, he's my boy. Oh, yeah, drop it off for Johnny Doug. Yeah, drop
exactly.
It off the mailbox.
It happens all the time, yeah.
Exactly.
It beats the internet in some ways.
Well, the funny part was...
You never have to log on.
Well, when I talked... This was Facebook, our generation.
Yes, exactly.
When it is. This is when I came home... Oh, it was last week. I was at the shop. We were going to go, my wife and my daughter and I were going to go to an afternoon movie and then dinner. So I had to be home in time, but I also have to hit this button because we're flashing
more
again.
Calls.
So we have to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, Professor Ray. Hello, Joey D. How you guys doing?
It's the big man. Howie Zowie.
Thank you, sir.
What's going on? What's going on, Howie?
Today was an important day. We were, first of all, fortunate that it's not snow and we're having rain. Went to the President's Council meeting in Rocky Point.
Oh, that was today, huh? Good. Okay.
Today, and Peter was taking control of the meeting, and you know, it worked out great.
Oh, good.
Good.
So did they make you president?
Me?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm the ambassador. I'm the mayor.
I thought they was going to maybe coronate you.
I'm going there, you know, with the... you know, Long Island Dreamboats and, you know, Motor Mouth Radio.
Ah, you're ambassadating.
Howie, have you checked the video that's on our website? Do you have a Twitter account, Howie?
Pardon?
This is where you answer. The question was, do you have a Twitter account?
No.
Oh, well, get one, because you got to follow...
Because you're on Twitter.
You got to follow Motor Mouth Radio. There's a video on there that you're a part of. You're a big part of it. It's a Knish video.
Okay, Twitter account. I can get that one. That's fine.
Get one and follow Motor Mouth
Radio.
Professor
Ray, I'll get that.
All right, good. Do that. And then report back. But go to the website. Go to motormouthradio.com or .net/blog/videos, and you'll see the Knish video. Watch that, chuckle, and then let us know what you think.
Yeah.
I will.
And you can use mustard and salt.
He's also in the German car video, too, I think,
right?
Oh,
is he? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's...
Well, that's your crowning achievement, Charles.
Oh, please, yeah. Well, basically, as a matter of fact, Howie and I were having a discussion last night as I was driving to my last stop there. And is it all right if I tell you people what you did, Howie?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I said, is it all right if I tell you people what you did? Like... What car you bought?
He wants to throw you under the bus.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
Howie bought a Volvo.
Oy vey.
Yeah. And I said...
Is das the Swedish is good?
I said, basically, you know what Swedes are, right? And he goes, what? I go, Germans on vacation. I says,
Yes, you did say that.
Yes, I know, because they're just about as screwed up. So I did a little research. Howie had a question about his check engine light. And,
of course.
When I finally, you know, I was driving and talking to him at the same time, so it was kind of hard because I don't pretend to know European cars off the top of my head. I just kind of block them out because that's just the way it goes, because I just don't have the mindset for it. Anyway, Howie, long story short, you mentioned something about the right side. You had a code for the right front wheel speed sensor on your ABS?
That's correct, yes.
That can cause the check engine light.
Really?
In the Swedish logic...
Yeah.
I had to do some reading on this, and I don't have all the facts yet because I kind of poked around, you know, some of the websites that I visit, like IATN, Identifix, so on and so forth. But long story short, the logic is that if the BCM, which is the brake control module on a Volvo, which is nowhere near everybody else's, the body computer.
What do they call a body control module?
CEM.
For?
Central Electronics Module.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
And then the main one is I called IKEA.
Yeah, right. That's what you do. They give you a funny little wrench.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, with a big circle with a no through it. But anyway, the Swedish logic is that because the wheel speeds are not in cohabitation there with the... that's not the word I want. But if they don't add up to what they see on the vehicle speed, it throws that code. By the way, that wow. PO500 cross-references to like 17 Volvo-specific codes, which if you don't have a genuine IKEA scanner, you are so... How do you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
But, well, nah.
No, but basically...
Sing ABBA. I don't know.
Waterloo.
You are the dancing queen.
There you go. Waterloo.
Queen.
Yeah,
Waterloo,
it.
Right.
But essentially, if you fix that right front wheel speed, you'll probably lose your check engine light.
Good.
Are you with me?
How?
Did I just say all that crap for nothing?
I think Howie's taking minutes of the meeting right now, so he's a little busy.
I'll be reviewing this later on, gentlemen.
Oh, very good.
But from what my scanner that I have, is the PO500 is a general code that it can be
It's more like a corporate. It ain't even a general. Put that thing in the ashtray and just light it, okay? Because it ain't going to cut it. You need a Volvo-specific scanner. All right, and we were having a discussion on ITN about that. So basically, though, fix the right wheel speed sensor, all right, which hopefully will just be take a sensor and screw it on there, and you may be good.
And then follow up with us. Let us know in the future what you get there, Howie.
I will.
All right, we're going to run. We got to take another break and do some business.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Happy motoring, and keep trying.
Catch you later, Howie.
Take care, Howie.
So long. All right, I got to mention, Joe, that people sometimes, like me, who grew up listening to doo-wop music, you know, some of us older guys, they want to check out a show here.
You.
I know you are, but yeah, well, you're a titch, yeah, but you are, yes. Yeah. If you wanna go there, I wasn't gonna.
It's okay.
I wasn't gonna back that bus into the studio.
Nah, it's all right.
But yeah, Thursdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 5, you can hear the Sock Hop with our good friend Steve Dassa. He plays bands like the Dupree's, Randy and the Rainbows, the Platters, the Crests, and that's an ad lib, and other music from the early days of rock and roll, along with information about the songs and the artists that made them famous. He's a historian. He really is. He knows his stuff. So do that. We're going to take our last break, then come back, and we'll kind of wrap this up somehow. I don't know with what, but we'll wrap it up with something. let's give our last classic blast, and we'll be back in a minute with more Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Music.
For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Whether you're a hot rod or a Camaro chick, the Motormouths will always do the trick. Motormouth Radio, baby.
Yes, you are back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D, Jersey Jim in the studio. Now I want a sub. I want to go to Jersey Jim's subs. That's the new place around here that's got meat products.
Hunger.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely so.
So, Joe, we were going to follow up with a, we're going to end up with a, let's see, what are we going to talk about? You had a gauge issue?
Oh, it was the last few days that we've had, I've run into a couple of gauge issues, and of course, two of them happen to be on vehicles that I have, that are in my fleet. last night, I went to start the rolling toolbox, and for some ungodly reason, the speedometer decided to peg. Now, considering I'm sitting there, and now all of a sudden I'm going the indicated equivalent of 210 miles an hour, I was like,
my sensor
right.
showed, Jim, that this is not accurate.
I was like, wait a second. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't get that feeling in the my lower butt there. And usually I go that fast. So the speedometer decided to peg, and I was like,
you knew there was something wrong, and you just didn't know what it was, right? It's like, I don't know.
It's the final front, yeah.
Yes, and you had to figure out what
the heck
was
going on. I had to run a level one diagnostic there.
Ah.
Final frontier.
Which is basically on that car, I was like, crap. And then, you know, I'm at the UT, and I shut, I was getting ready to pull out, you know, to go home. And I'm like, what are you doing? And on a lot of cars, there's a secret self-test. Now, on a Chrysler...
Really?
With the key, if you shut the car off, you hold the odometer button down, and you sit there and you wait.
Uh-huh.
And you wait.
Uh-huh.
And you wait. And then all of a sudden, the odometer pops up with software version, in my case it was 5.0. And then what it does, though, is it starts sweeping the gauges.
Ah.
And it just sweeps them, you know, 10 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, whatever. And also... you know, your displays all light up so you could do what they call a segment check. I mean, I've used this before. It just kind of dawned on me because it's either that or, like, yank the cluster or grab a scan tool.
So what I thought of when you said segment check is I thought of the LCD, the seven-segment
yes.
display.
Yes.
With seven segments, you can make any number.
Pretty much, yeah.
And, okay, so that's what
And what it does
about.
Is it was going one, two, three. Meanwhile, the gauges are all kind of doing, like, this cute little dance.
Nice.
And then it went back to normal.
Wow.
And I was like... Cool. Okay.
So that was a base. That was like the equivalent of a kick in the butt, quick reset.
Yeah, I brained it. It was pretty much like Control Alt Delete. You know.
Nice.
And the other car in my fleet, which happened to mimic something else I saw last week, mm-hmm. was the gas gauge on the Buick. The family Buick decided right. to go on the other side of the peg.
Jeez.
And I'm like, oh.
There's no mechanical stop.
Oh, there is a mechanical stop, but it went the other direction.
Oh, geez.
So now my son has about 480 gallons of gas.
Yeah, you can go like 1,050 miles.
Right, exactly, yeah. But we know that the range was right, so now we know it's in the gauge. But what you do, and this is a big thing with GM cars that happens, is that a voltage surge might cause that.
Uh-huh.
But what you got to do is you get yourself magnets. You got to get yourself strong magnets.
Oh, yes.
And I happen to have a magnet, which I still have to do this in all honesty, but I did this on another car.
Uh-huh.
I have an old hard drive magnet.
Okay.
That'd which go, I also stacked a couple of my pickup magnets on to make this thing that pretty much I could have towed the car with.
I have a pair of half-inch, they're not beryllium, what the heck, I forget what the composition is. It's like the strongest magnets, like you can't pull them apart. You have to slide them, and God forbid you get your finger in the middle.
Redneck click clacks.
Yeah. I got a big pair of those if you want to use those. They are very strong.
Are they from Bro? I got a big.
Yeah, I know.
It goes with your t-shirt, by the way, folks.
It does.
He's wearing all roads lead to Brooklyn t-shirt yes. today, which would explain.
And I think the Brooklyn Bridge is on the
yeah,
back.
Yeah, there it is. That's it. You didn't buy that thing, did you? Well,
no,
anyway, the trick is, because it is an electromagnetic device, is you take the magnets and you kind of put them on the faceplate of the dashboard
mm-hmm.
and you rotate. And what happens is that the magnetic coil behind the needle starts following along, and you gotta kind of persuade it. It takes a little while to do, but you could sit there and you could just rotate it incrementally back to where it's got to be.
Right.
And then you take it all the way to one side, usually to the other side of the peg. You know, make sure that the key is off when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next,
don't leave your cell phone or computer up there either.
No, not if you want to talk on it again.
No.
As a matter of fact, that reminds me, I was going to take a video. Maybe I better not. I may better have somebody do it from over my shoulder in the back seat.
Maybe
there.
If you do that, you could talk sweet easy if you, you know, if you figure that one out.
In that sonic perfect, so I become. Anyway, but that works very well on a lot of GMs. And,
okay.
It beats the crap out of taking apart the dashboard.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And But you need strong enough magnets. Mm-hmm. I tried a couple, like my pickup tool. And
neodendum. That's what they're, the neodendum magnets.
Yeah, okay, because basically that, if you just sweep it around, you just like kind of fool the magnetic coil behind the gauge, you're good to go.
Right, right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. So, again, on your own cars, doing some maintenance, we always end up doing that with our own, into our own fleet.
In other words, my own crap breaks and I got to fix it.
And we are still the guys that
nobody
have to
gives
do
me
it.
No money for it, so it's okay.
No, no.
It's absolutely okay. It's my kid, so I'm...
Yeah, but you get dinner and, you know...
Yeah. You get yeah. I do get the acknowledgement that I want.
Family
there,
appreciation,
so.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Jim says that the magnetism will not affect my cell phone. Okay.
It won't, huh?
So, if that's the case, then... If you're wrong, I will be mailing you a...
right.
I will be sending you a postal missive to that effect.
Five guys in a van are going to show up at your door and say, hey, Jim, get out of here. I want to talk to you about a cell phone.
You know that stuff about magnetic field theory? We need to discuss this.
Yeah. Come here.
By the way, here's something metal for you to...
Yeah, let's see how insulated you are today.
Jim is actually quite knowledgeable with some stuff.
Yes, he is.
He does a lot of RF...
Yes.
And not the guy with the T-shirt and the cars and stuff.
No.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, that's good to know. Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah. Cool. And so... we're going to try pulling somebody else out of the cloud one of these days or what?
Yeah, there's a few guests that have been hanging up in the clouds that have not dropped down. And I know he's going to be coming in soon. It's going to be Greg Hathcock from Vogue Tires.
Ah, Vogue Tires. That's always a good...
We have a fundraising marathon coming up March 11th. We're going to be doing a two-hour gig on March 11th, which
right.
means I think we get the next week off.
All right.
Because then Rob will be doing our stint.
Cool.
And Greg will be coming in sometime around then. I don't have... I don't have the piece of paper with me. And Alana Scher from the darling of Dodge and the maven of Mopar.
Girl, yeah.
She's going to give us a call, but I guess maybe it's early for her. I don't know.
It's so, California.
Yeah.
You know, they do things differently there. They really do.
And, you know, we're always scouting, so if you...
Yeah, and by the way, now that we're all connected on Facebook, Twitter, standing on top of the roof and yelling, all mm-hmm. that, if you listener... Can I say listeners?
Kind of.
Listener. Yeah, we got at least two today. If anybody's got suggestions, or like even if it's just something you want us to like look into, let us know, because now it's not just a matter of calling, sending cards, or even just the email. Now, with the website and all this other stuff, you can get to us real easy, and we do actually read that stuff.
I was going to say, if you want to send an email, you can send it to MMR@ncc.edu. That's an alias for Motormouth Radio at ncc.edu, because I happen to know the IT guys here, so they make that stuff for me. So,
oh, cool.
When you know those guys, you know, it's like Joe.
It's pretty good because I can't spell MMR.
I know. It's tough. EMEMARR, right? Is that it? Yes. No, undeliverable. What do you mean? Damn Outlook. What you?
Yeah,
no, just
that.
Like in the car guy world, like we always say, hey, we got a guy for this, we got a guy for that, we got somebody who can shortcut and help us out. It's the same thing everywhere. You know, like I got a guy in the IT department, so he's when he was doing the email, now he isn't. He was able to make me the alias, you know, for my own address and for the station account.
Yeah, so bottom line is, folks, you can find us if you want to. You know what I mean?
Reach
so
out.
You don't have to studiously ignore us no more, because now you can find us and tell us, you know, if there's something, you know, some subject you want us to broach. I mean, of course, asking questions is always, Kim, this is no time to be playing.
I'm sorry, musical chair.
It was like jujitsu. You were doing jujitsu. I saw the move. Come on.
It was
it.
Almost a mosh pit.
Yeah.
But we both stopped at the last second and did one of those matrix shifts.
See, that
was cool.
This is why we need the freaking camera.
That was pretty good, Kim.
We,
I don't want her to hurt me. Kim she'll put a hurting on me,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. She'll bench you real good. Yeah.
I know. No, I don't need that.
But at any rate, though, if there's something you guys want us to you know, a segment on a particular system on a car, some kind of tech thing or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
if you want to know a certain Italian recipe, maybe, we can tell you how to make nice bragiole if you want. Yeah, we can
I can probably
put a couple hot plates in here. We can get it cooking.
Yeah, I could probably get Mom on the FaceTime there.
Nice.
We want input, please. So bring it on, okay?
Absolutely. So with that, we're going to get the heck out of here. Kim Tracy's coming
with
Thunder Road. Anything associated with Bruce Springsteen. And for Joe D., Ray Guarino, Jim, thanks for coming in. We'll see you guys all next week.